Okay, we're starting at the bottom of Nun Aleph Amabet. More Tuman Tara stuff today. We're going to start with an ant. Okay, by Rava, Nimala Shechasera Mahu. Shiur Gemirala Vaha Chaser, Obriya Gemirala Vaha Ika. Now we're moving off of Tuman Tara for a little bit. We're talking about the fact that this is a sheretz, which is usher to eat. Now if you eat a full ant, okay, or in general, we talk about this with bugs. This is why bugs is a big problem, because if you find a little bug, usually we say, you know, batal b'shishim, but if it's a bria, if it's a whole entire entity, then you can't eat it. So like, for example, if you had broccoli and you didn't wash it well and there was a bug in it and you ate it, so that would be usher. But if you blended a broccoli soup and there was a bug in it and it was blended up and it was, you know, not that you really want to be eating this, but it was, you know, already crushed up, then it's not a bria. So now they want to know, what if this ant lost a leg? Now the ant still is surviving. It can still function without its leg, maybe not so easily, but it's still alive. It has a neshama in it, they're going to call it. Okay? So is that considered still a bria? Because it's full, even though it's missing something. Okay, so do we say shiur gemirala v'hachaser? Do we say that this is halacha l'moshe misinai? That, you know, it's sort of this, or I don't know if they mean exactly halacha l'moshe misinai, but it's passed down that this is a halacha, that it has to be whole, and this is missing something. Or bria gemirala v'haikor? Do we say you need a being, and this ant is a being, because it's missing a leg, but it's still alive? Amar Rabbi Yehuda midiskratia, tashma, bahem, Yachol b'kulam. Okay, here's a source we saw in Chagiga. This comes up with the psukim about the shratzim. Okay, the psukim are here. They're here. So look at the Torah or in Aleph. It's Vayikra Yud Aleph Lamed Aleph Lamed Bed. Elu hatzmeim lachem bechol hasheretz. Okay, this we're going to start to see the important word here in a second. Bechol hasheretz kol nogea bahem b'motam yitmad erev. Anyone who touches bahem, them, okay, is yitmada erev. The next pasuk says, v'chol asher yipol alav mehem bimotan, anything that falls upon you, like if a bug falls upon you, from them. Now from, they're going to see this difference between bahem and mehem. Bahem sounds like the whole thing. Mehem sounds like any part of it. So that's what this bright is going to discuss. Bahem, if you would have had the word bahem, yachol, just bahem, yachol b'kulan, you would have thought it has to be the whole bug. Tashma, the whole sheretz. Tashma, mehem. That's why it says mehem, to teach you even part of it. Imehem, yachol m'ksatan. If it's mehem only, then you might have thought only part of it. Tamud lamar, bahem. That's why it says bahem. So haketzad. Ad shigab m'ksatan shehu kekulan. Okay, what's the combination of mehem and bahem? That it has to be that you touch part of it, but it's a part that's like a whole. Okay, so what does that mean? V'shiru chachamim b'cha adasha. The chachamim gave a shir to this amount. It has to be something that's more than just a part of it and close to a whole. What's that shir? In adasha, okay, the size of a lentil bean. Why is this the size of a lentil bean? Sheken hachomet tchilat briyato b'cha'adasha. Okay, so what does that mean? The chomet is one of the shmona shratzim. Okay, the Kohen has a nice picture of what they... There's a debate whether it comes from the chameleon family or it comes from the... What was the other option?
Snail or lizard.
Right, the snail. Okay, that's what you can imagine. It's the size of a lentil, right? Like a teeny baby snail. So they say nowadays it's widely regarded as the species of a skink. Okay, this is a picture of what they think the chomet might be. As you see, nobody really knows. This is a legless skink. The point being that as it's being created, it's so teeny, right? But the assumption is at that point it's not fully created, and therefore, what do you see? That it could be not 100% full, and yet, as long as it's alive, then it's mitame.
So okay? It doesn't matter that a full-grown ant is smaller than a lentil.
Right, it doesn't make a difference. Right. The point is, if this full-grown ant is missing a leg, what are we going to say? It's kind of like the chomet that's just being created, and therefore it's going to be okay. So that's the first assumption. We're going to reject this in a minute, but that's what they're saying. So Shema Mina Shi Ura Gemira Le, okay, that it's passed down. Oh no, sorry. No, that's the opposite. Kibina Shi Ura Gemira Le. Shema Mina Shi Ura Gemira Le. Sorry, it has to be, I got it wrong. Okay, it's definitely the opposite. It's that it has to be, the smallest thing of a full chomet is an adasha. And therefore, we need an ant that's going to be totally full, you know, totally with all its parts. Because the smallest thing they could come up with is something that's already whole, as the chomet is, right? It might not be grown yet, but it's whole. So therefore, sorry, I confused you. Therefore, we're going to assume that it's shiur gemirale. There has to be something whole, whether it's just born or whether it's, you know, later. But missing a leg will not work. Okay, that's already... Now, we're comparing, by the way, two different things. One is eating a bug, and the other is shretzim minimatame. Okay, but they're comparing the concept. So now, Amar Rav Shmaya, ki bi'inan shiura, de b'lo habyakadasha, lo matame, de lo nafla baneshama. If it hasn't yet fully formed, what's the concept here? That the chomet, we have to wait till it's at its youngest stage, where it's got all its parts to it, at least. They're just going to grow bigger. But that's... When do we say we need all the parts? When it doesn't yet have a neshama, as it's being created, right? Until it's whole, it's not really a live being yet. Aval nafla ba neshama lo tibayla. Aval nafla ba neshama lo. But once you already have a fully formed ant, and then at some point it loses a leg, that's different than is something fully formed from the beginning. You follow? They're distinguishing between something that's new and being created. So we're only going to count the moment that it's created at the time when it's fully formed. Which at that point, its size is an adasha. And then we say, this being has neshama in it. We're going to call this is a sheretz now, and it's going to be betame if it dies, you know, in that example, right? It's a dead sheretz. But the other option, we're going to say this ant was already a real ant. Now it happened to have lost a leg, but it's still surviving. It still has a neshama. So we basically can't compare the two cases, and therefore tibayalach, therefore we don't really know the answer. Okay, so we're left with our question, what happens if an ant's leg falls off? Is that considered a briah, a full thing, and therefore, even though it's missing a leg, it's still a briah, and we're going to say it's forbidden? Or, if you eat it, or do we say, no, it's missing something. And this was a shiurahu, right? It was the shiur that they gave. It has to be whole, and this isn't whole, and therefore it's not, you're not chayv. Okay. Now we're moving on to, that was a side question. We're moving back to the issue of our Mishnah about all the things that the Nazir has to be megaleach on them if he becomes tami. So we have hashidra v'hagugolet. Okay? It said the shidra and the gugolet in the Mishnah, but what didn't it specify? Are these two separate things, the shidra, independent, and the gulgolet, independently? Or is this all one and the same, and it means the shidra and the gulgolet together you need? Okay? And if you'd only have one, then it's not going to be matami. So that's going to be the Gemara's question. It's going to take us till the end of today's staff. Ibayilu, shidra v gulgolet nan, o dilma, o shidra, o gulgolet. So Amarava, let's try to learn it from here. Tashma, here's our source. Shidra shegirad rov ila'in sheba tehora. If you have a spine, okay, it's either girad or maybe gided, which means it was cut off, okay, that basically most of the bones of the spine detached from it. Tehora, okay, it's tehora, that's not metame, because it's missing a lot of the bones. Ubekever afilu meshuberet o mefureket tmea. But if it's in the grave and it falls apart in the grave, then it's tme'ah, mipnei hakever. Okay, so now we're going to go back to the beginning. So shidra shigirad rovi la'in sheba is tehora. So what can we imply from here? That what? If it has all its bones on it, right, it's going to be tme'ah, which sounds like the shidra in and of itself is metame. So now that's what they're going to say. Tama mishum digirad. Halogirad tame shmamina o shidra o gulgolet. Katane. So now they say, wait. Ha lo katane. Right? The word ha, which basically was the word from which they derived the im gered, if it lo gered, then it would be tamei. Doesn't never says that in the Mishnah. Meaning, why are you assuming that this is the derivation? Ha kamash malan dechi gered tehora. Idaf tibaylach. This is exactly what we had the other day, which is the structure saying when it said gered, right, it broke off. So now, what do we say? In that case, for sure, it's tahor. But if lo girad, and it didn't all fall off, tibayla, they don't know the answer. In other words, they gave the case that they knew the exact answer to. They didn't give the case that they were questioning. So basically, as you obviously, we don't really know what they thought about if it was all intact. But they're saying it's inconclusive because just because they said this doesn't mean they knew the answer about that and the answer was the opposite. Right? Yeah, it's tummy there. No, it might not necessarily be. So therefore, we can't learn anything from there. Okay, second attempt. Tashma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shisha Dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda says this. There's Shisha Dvarim that Rabbi Akiva is metame and Chachamim are metaharim. Okay, there's six things where Rabbi Akiva says it's tame. Chachamim say it's tahor. Vechazar bo Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva eventually conceded to Chachamim and agreed that they're all tahor. Uma'asesh, we're going to see more of these six cases very soon. Uma'asesh viu kupamalea tzamot lebeit haknesset shel tarsiim. Vinichua ba'avir. There was a case where they brought this box full of atzamot to the Beit HaKnesset of the Tarsiim, which they said are...
Coppersmiths.
Okay. Why they had their own Beit HaKnesset, I'm not sure. And they left it in the air, okay, meaning, what does that mean? They didn't, like, you know, leave it midair, some magic trick. They opened, you know, they put it in a place where there was an open ceiling so that the tumah wouldn't go into the room, right? Remember, if it's covered, then the tumah goes... It covers, you know, gets everywhere underneath. If it's open, then the tumah goes straight up to the sky, but nowhere on the sides. So what they do, they brought it into the room, but in a way that it was in a box. So they held it up in the air with, you know, nothing above it, so that they wouldn't be metame the room. V'nichnas todus harofe v'chol harofim imo. Okay, it must have been some famous doctor. Okay, todus the doctor and all these other rofim came in. What are they? Doctors, they probably, we would call them now scientists, or right? In other words, their idea is to examine these bones and determine what's the status of them. Famru, right? In other words, what do we want to know? We want to know what parts of the body are here, right? Is it one mate? Is it more than one mate? So Famru, ein kan shidra mi mate echad. Okay? There isn't a shidra from one person. Okay? So ta'ama deleka shidra. Demechada. Haika o shidra o gugola demechada nazir megaleach ale shma mina o shidra o gugola. What did they say here? There isn't a shidra from one mate. Meaning what? That it's enough just if you had a shidra from one mate, then it would be metame, which seems to imply o shidra o gugola. So then they say tnan. No, you don't have to read it that way because you could read it like this. Lo mebaya kamar. Lo mebaya shidra v'gugolet mimet echad leka, el afilu o shidra mimet echad o gugolet mimet echad leka. And maybe what he said was this. He was giving the extreme case. And he's saying, not only do you not have a shidra and a gugolet from mimet echad that you need, but you don't even have one shidra from one person. You follow? In other words, his answer, if you add these words, then it would really address the question. It would say, you know, again, these are two ways of reading the source. You could read the source, it doesn't have a shidra, meaning it doesn't have a shidra, and if it had a shidra, it would be tame. But you could also read it as saying, it doesn't have a shidra and a gugola from one mate, and not only that, it doesn't even have a shidra from one person, or a gugola from one person. Okay, they're trying to say it's all, you know, the less... That obviously, if you just had a shidra with gugola, according to that interpretation, it wouldn't even do anything for you, right? It wouldn't be metame either. But he's saying, right, not only do you not have both, but you don't even have one. Okay. So again, an inconclusive source. Tashma. Miminyana. Why don't we learn from this minyan of six things? Okay? What does that mean? Umayin shishat varim shurabi akiva metame b'chachamim metarim. Okay, let's start counting. Number one. Al ever min amet sheba mishne metim. Okay, let's say you have the first thing that Rabbi Akiva thought to be metame, where he changed his mind eventually, was about an ever min amet. Let's say you have half a limb of one person and half a limb of another person. Do you call that ever min amet? That's metame, a nazir, and an ohel? Okay, right? If a nezer's in an oel and there's two evarim from people who are dead, would you say, you know, two half evarim, two half limbs, would you say that that's matanis? So Rabbi Akiva thought yes, and then he changed his mind. Val evar min achai shabam mishne b'nei adam. Okay, that's number two. Okay, so now what if you had a half a limb from a live person, not a dead person, but a live person? That's number two. Number three, al chatzi kav atzamot shabam mishne mitim. Okay, you have half a kav of atzamot, which would be mitame and nazir in an oel in general, but not if it comes from two different people. Okay, val revi dam habam mishnayim. Then there's a revi dam that comes from, right, again, that was the amount of dam, that comes from two different people. Val etzem kiseo ra shenechlach l'shnayim. What if you have a bone the size of a barley that's split in half? Do you say that's not etzem kiseo ra, because it's half an etzem and the other half an etzem, right? That's the machloket here. That's number five. And now what happens? We have number six, which is Hashidra v'Hagulgolet. Now it becomes obvious that Shidra and Gulgolet must be one thing. Because if they were two separate things, we would have seven things on this list. Follow? Okay? So, Hashidra v'Hagulgolet. Okay, so it seems to imply you need to have the Shidra and the Gulgolet. Be'isal kadata o Shidra o Gulgolet hane sheva havyan. Okay? So now, that was assuming that the way I read this is the way it's supposed to be read. Because maybe you could join two other things together. Okay? What would be the obvious ones to join together? Which would you say? Right. The Ever Min Amid and Ever Min Achai maybe is just number one. Because it's really just in the end an Ever, right? A Lin. So maybe you could do that. So, any case, the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of different answers that are going to say either we can join two things together, or maybe you had a bad version of this Mishnah. I think it's a Mishnah. Mishnah? No, maybe not.
Breita. It says a little later, Breita.
It's a Breita. Okay. So maybe you had a different version of this Breita, and therefore, maybe you have something on this list that doesn't really belong on this list, and we'll explain the various reasons as to why. Remember what we know about this list. What this list is talking about is what is Matame and Nazir, right, in Ohel, which is going to be one key to seeing one of these things really doesn't belong. The other is going to be, all these are cases where Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and then in the end, Rabbi Akiva conceded to them. So that's going to go in two directions. We're going to have a case where it wasn't Chachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, it was a Yachid who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva in one of these cases. And so therefore, they're going to say this case doesn't belong on the list. Another one is going to be, we see that Rabbi Akiva never conceded to Chachamim on this issue, and therefore that one doesn't belong on the list. So we're going to have, I think, four different attempts, and here's the siman for it. Yachid, Shehu, Gileach, V'achad. Okay, those are highlights for what each one is going to be. We'll see in a minute what they all are. So Yachid is going to be the last thing I just said, which is Kol Hecha Deplige Alei Rabim, Lafuke Etzem Kiseora, Di Yachid Hu Deplige Alei. In other words, these cases brought here are only the ones where Rabim disagree with him. But in a case where Yachid disagrees with him, that one doesn't belong on the list. And which one is that? Etzem Kiseora. How do we know? Titanya Etzem Kiseora. It should say actually Ditnan. It's a Mishnah. Right? Tanya means we learn in a Braita, and Tanan means we learn in a Mishnah. So Ditnan Etzem Kiseora Shenechlach L'Shnayim. Rabbi Akiva Mitame, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Yuri Mitaher. Okay, so there we see that's a case, right? Etzem Kiseora doesn't belong. We're going to see Etzem Kiseora is brought up twice. Doesn't belong for two different possible reasons. One reason is to say it doesn't belong because he's only Cholek al Yachid and not against Chachamim. So maybe that one doesn't belong here. And then you could still have Shidra and Gugolet is separate and say each one is independent. V'ibayit Ema, ki katane ever min amet, ever min achai lo katane. Maybe it just said ever min amet and it didn't say ever min achai. Or, you know, you could say that ever min achai was just included with ever min amet. V'ibayit Ema, ki katane kol hecha de nazir magalech al ahilo. Right, what are the cases that it's talking about? When a nazir has to be megalech if he's in an ohel. Now remember we talked about there's a difference between different tumot, right? There's maga masa, carrying, touching, versus ohel. Now one of those differences is, if you remember, etzem kiseora is the shear for maga masa. It's not the shear for an ohel. In an ohel it has to be a bigger shear. So therefore, what do they say? Therefore, it doesn't belong here, because all the things we learned here was nizimagalech al ahilo lafuke etzem de kisora dilo. Okay, that's not the shear that it would nearest nizirim bimigalech if he was in an ohel, and this is specifically talking about ohel. So maybe we could get rid of that one. Okay, etzem kisora. Like I said, we already saw two different reasons why we get rid of it. The bayit ema ki katane kol hecha dahader be. Right? What did we say? It's all the cases where Rabbi Akiva was chozer bo. La fuke Rabbi Dam de lo hadar be. Okay? Maybe the Rabbi Dam case shouldn't be here because that was a case where Rabbi Akiva never conceded to Chachamim. How do we know this? Da amar le Rabbi le bar kapara. Lo tishne dam Rabbi'it b'chazara. Sharei limudosha Rabbi Akiva biado. Okay, so Rabbi said to bar kapara, in other words, don't learn that Rabbi Dam is bechazara, that Rabbi Akiva was chozer, that Rabbi Akiva was chozer bo in this case, because limudosh Rabbi Akiva biado. In other words, we know that Rabbi Akiva taught this basically, and that he wasn't chozer bo. There was some explanation. One second. Right. Okay. So here he says, "Sharei limudosh Rabbi Akiva biado." In other words, we have the limud of Rabbi Akiva who said it. Ve'od hamikra misayao, and we have a pasuk to support it. What's the pasuk that supports our Ravi Dam? Do you remember this? We learned it. Ravi Dam of two meitim. Where do we know it from? Because it says, "Al kol nifashot meit lo yavo." Remember that pasuk about the Kohen? He can't be mitame to all the nifashot meit. And what do they say? Why nifashot? It means it's Ravi Dam. It's coming from two different people. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad Yamav Hayamitameh. So now Rabbi Shimon says, until he was, like, as he was still alive, he was still Matame this case. Imishameth Chazerbo, Eniodea. If when he died, he changed his mind, I don't know about it. Okay, so obviously what they're trying to say is, right, it's difficult to ever know. What they're relating to here is, you never really know if someone changed his mind. Just like, you know, maybe someone did tshuva the very last moment of their lives, is that concept, right? So we don't know. Maybe on his deathbed, he was chozer bo, but we don't know about it. And as far as I know, in his life, this is what he held. So therefore, we can assume that in this case, Rabbi Akiva really wasn't chozer bo, unless he did it, you know, mamash on his deathbed. You know, unlikely that this is what, I mean, maybe he was thinking about it on his deathbed. Remember how Rabbi Akiva died also. Died in that very unfortunate way, so you never know. But anyway, that's what he says, and therefore this shouldn't be listed in the list of the six things, and therefore we could still see that, right, Shidra and Gulgola would then be numbers 5 and number 6, in which case they're each judged independently and not together. So now there's just the last point about this. So Rabbi Shimon said this line, which they say about this, Tanu hu shchiru shinav mipnei ta'aniotav. What happened after he said this? He felt bad that he said it. It was a little disrespectful. And after that, he basically took upon himself to not eat. And, you know, it's unclear exactly. He didn't, you know, not eat at all. Maybe he ate a little, you know. But basically, he, and his teeth turned black as a result of it. Okay, this is just a comment. And, you know, watch what you say and be careful not to say things in a harsh way or in a way that's disrespectful to Rabbi Akiva. You know, in this case, it was to Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, okay, that's a side point, obviously not having to do with our flow of the Gemara. Okay. Tashma. So we're still stuck with our question. Is it O Shidra O Gulgolet or is it Shidra V'Gulgolet? So now we're going to bring in a braita about a machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai Yomrim. Rova Atzamot Min Ha'atzamim O Mishnayim O Mishlosha. Okay, when you have this rova kav of atzamot that we said, right, a quarter of a kav of atzamot that's metame, and with the nazir, it's, right, a half a kav that's metame in an oel, in order for him to have to be megaleach on it and start his whole count all over again. But the rova atzamot mina atzamim, when we talk about bones being metame, and this pile of bones you have, has to be omishnayim omishlosha. As long as it's, really, it's not that it has to be. It's almost the opposite. As long as it's from two or three bones, that's sufficient. Beit Hillel Amrim, Rova Min HaGviya, it has to be a Rova Kav from the body, Me Rova Binyan or Me Rova Minyan. It either has to be from the Rov of the Binyan, right, which we said was these two Yerechayim and two Shokayim, maybe, or something like that. You know, maybe one or two, one of one, two of the other. Or Rov Minyan, which is from 125 of the bones in the body, of the, you know, from the evarim, from the limbs, from the majority of the body. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yecholni la'asot divrei Beit Shammai v'divrei Beit Hillel ke'echad. Rabbi Yeshua comes and says, I can actually say that what they're saying is the same thing. Why? Shebeit Shammai omrei mishnayim o mishlosha means o mishnei shokayim v'yerech echad, o mishnei yerechayim v'shok echad. Ho'il v'rov gov hoshal adam mi gova. Okay, so what's he saying? He's saying that maybe he didn't mean any random two or three bones. He meant dafka, the shok of the yerechayim, right? The thighs and the shins, which make up the majority, right? That's already rov of the height of a person. Okay. We still haven't gotten to our point yet. Ubeit Hillel omrim min hagviya omri rov binyan omri rov binyan. So if that's the case, so obviously they have to argue about something, and as he can't say they totally agree. So this is what they disagree about. Okay, it's not about that, because they both agree about the rov binyan. It's the rov minyan. Okay, so what does that mean? That you could, according to Beit Hillel, you could have rov minyan of your evarim in your hands. Okay, there's a whole note in the Koran that's interesting about this that I want to read. Koran is always good when it comes to the reality of these things and what they're talking about. So, second. Okay. So, they say here that in Ohalot, they count a total of 30 bones in the arms and the legs, including the hands and the feet. So, according to the number of bones in these four limbs, amounts to 120, close to half the traditional number of 248 bones in the body. Okay? So, in other words, they thought that there were 120 bones in the hands and the feet, which means in that case you could have rov minyan just in the hands and the feet, but that wouldn't be, you know, what Beit Shammai was talking about. Then they quote, which is essentially, nowadays they're considered to be 27 bones in each arm and 26 in each foot. Apparently, so how did they get to all this? So apparently the sages also counted the tiny, I don't know how to pronounce the word, sesamoid bones. Somebody know what that means? I don't know what those are. Anyway, there's these tiny bones found in the joints, which is why they got to a larger sum. And since the number of sesamoids varies with age from one individual to another, it follows in some skeletons the number of bones of the arms and legs could comprise the majority of bones of the entire body in number and size. So they try to give an understanding to where they were coming out with all the bones in the arms and the hands and the feet. Okay. Okay, so that's what they're arguing about. So that was Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Now, Shammai himself comes in and argues about this. And Shammai Omer, he's got his own opinion. So, right, sometimes Beit Shammai doesn't always match Shammai, right? Here, this Machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, however you understand it, right? It's not 100% clear. Comes in Shammai, who says, Afilu etzem mina shidra o mina gulgolet. Okay? So what does he say, right? Even if it's etzem from the shidra or from the gulgolet, which seems to imply what? That everyone else disagrees and that it's both, right? So then they say, Shanei Shammai Dimachmir. Okay, so now, one second. When Shammai brings this in, the assumption is that just like he's only mitame, right? Okay, afilu etze. Oh, sorry. The first assumption I got confused because we're going to see they jump back in terms of how to read this. Okay, there's going to be lots of different options. When he says afilu etzem mina shidra mina gogola, what he means is he's focusing not on the shidra or the gogola, on the etzem, right? He means even one, because remember there was two or three, there was rov binyan, and he says even if it's one etzem from the shidra or from the gogola, it's matame. Okay? But it sounds like that they would also, if according to them, what would they say? If it was the whole shidra or the whole gogolet, then it would be matame, but not that they think that it would be that you would need the shidra and the gulgolet. You follow? He's talking about just one etzem in the shidra. So what he's saying is, even one etzem in the shidra or the gulgolet would be enough. And what they're saying is, no, you need either two or three, or you need Rov Binyan, or, you know, but if the Shidra was intact, that might be sufficient. You wouldn't necessarily also need the Gogolin, which means that we're left with, right, at this point, we're saying, again, we're trying to prove O Shidra, O Gogolin. If you notice, they all tried to prove O Shidra, O Gogolin, and then they were all rejected. So now they say no, because Shane Shammai Di Machmir. Maybe Shammai is being very Machmir here. In other words, maybe he's going all the way, and he's saying two things against them, not just one. Maybe he's saying that both it's one bone and it's either the Shidra or the Gogolin, but they might disagree and say that you would need both. Okay? So then they say, if that's the case, lost my place for a second. Right. Lifsho mine tama de Beit Shammai de Machmir. Harabanan adiika Shidra v'Gogolin yachad. So then why don't we say, oh, well then if Shammai is Machmir, right, then we can prove it. Before we were saying it could go either way, right? This wouldn't necessarily prove it. Now they say maybe we should dafka then prove it. If Shammai is Machmir, why don't we assume that he's Machmir both? In which case, what are we going to assume? That everyone else would assume that you need the Shidra and the Gogolin. Okay, this is our first point where we're trying to prove that. So now they say, I said it wrong. It wasn't all the cases we were saying Shidra or Gogolin. I got confused. No. It was Dafka, they were trying to say Shidra or Gogolin was together. No, they bounced back, I think. Different ones, right? They tried to say.
This just as implies.
Right. Shmamina O Shidra or Gogolin. Oh, no. Most of the cases they tried to. Right. No, it bounced back and forth. Some of them tried to prove O Shidra or Gogolin. Some of them tried to prove Shidra or Gogolin. Anyway. So now they're saying, so why don't we prove that that is exactly what they hold, right? That it's both Shidra and the Gogolin that you would need. So now they say, lo, adkan lo pligi rabbanan alei deshamai, ele be'etz mecha da'ate min Shidra u'min al-Gogolin. Aval hecha di'iti be'ene afilu chada min ha'on. So they say no, because you could very easily say otherwise. And that's why this keeps bouncing back. Right, since there's two things they're arguing about, you could say they're only arguing about one and not the other. And what they're talking about, right, so here let's read it inside. They're only arguing about etzem echad da'atim min ha-shidra min ha-gogolet. But if the whole shidra gogolet is intact, then even just the shidra or just the gogolet would be sufficient for them to be metame. So those are, you know, basically what we saw today was many different options to try to understand, is it either the shidra or the gogolet, or is it both? And in the end, they don't really come to any conclusion about this. And we're stuck with the question. Nobody really knows. Which is interesting, because it seems like a very basic.
It seems to be a really important question.
Right, it is a very important question. Right, and it's very basic. And yet, they can't conclude about what the story is. Okay, so we'll end here for today.